What did I expect, anyway? Making Sense in the Colonial Zone by Katie Jamer Jewett. From the March 2024 edition of Tidings Magazine. In her series on expectations, found in Tidings Magazine, Katie reflects on a Canadian Baptist ministry sent trip she and others from Douglas Baptist Church, New Brunswick, experienced in the Dominican Republic in early 2023. Friday, March 3rd, the day I had been waiting for. While other group members focused on ministry aspects of our trip, I had been reading up on the Dominican Republic's history and culture. I was particularly interested in the long, tangled, and bloody relationship between the DR and its neighbor Haiti, and also in the lasting impacts of European colonization and slavery in the region. I had read enough to know that Hispaniola was the site of Christopher Columbus's landing in 1492. Just 4 years later, after decimating the local Tainao people, Spain established Santo Domingo as an administrative center for their various colonial governments. Haiti, meanwhile, was being colonized by the French. Both governments brought large numbers of people from West Africa to work the fields as slaves. Amazingly, African workers in Haiti successfully revolted against their enslavers in 1804, a revolution that has resulted in generations of negative socioeconomic consequences for Haiti, and quickly proceeded to colonize the Dominican half of the island until the Dominicans overthrew them. Control of the nation reverted to Spain before the Dominicans gained sovereignty in 1865. Throughout the 19th and 20th centuries, the DR saw extensive periods of military intervention by the United States, as well as a brutal 30-year dictatorship by Rafael Trujillo. Trujillo retaliated against those of Haitian descent with massacres, but he remains revered by many for bringing political and economic stability. I knew all of this. But reading about a place and actually setting foot on it are very different things, so I was looking forward to being there in person. What I found when I arrived, however, was much messier and more difficult than I could have anticipated. Pastor Miguel and our driver, Jose, had warned us that we should leave promptly in the morning to avoid traffic. They arrived right on time with our translator, Leah, and our team piled into the van for the one-hour-long trip to the Zona Colonial, Santo Domingo's historic district and a UNESCO World Heritage Site. The turquoise waters and Spanish architecture were breathtaking as we approached the city. Faro a Colón, Lighthouse to Columbus, a massive cross-shaped mausoleum and monument to Christopher Columbus, dominates the skyline. In the plaza, children dressed in national colors waved flags to celebrate Independence Day. I had expected that they would be celebrating independence from Spain. Instead, they were recognizing freedom from Haiti. The Zona's narrow cobblestone streets and stone houses are not unlike those in Old Quebec City, and our tour guide led us through all the important sites. I remember gaping as he pointed out nonchalantly that the house of the colonizer of Mexico is on this side of the street, and if you look to the other side, you'll see the house of the colonizer of Peru. We visited the palace home of Columbus's son Diego, taking in the life-sized portrait of the Columbus family and sitting in the same stone-encased window seat where Diego's wife, Maria de Toledo, would have sat to enjoy the cool breeze. Our guide insisted on taking our photos beside a statue of Maria, apparently a popular spot for tourists, but it made for an awkward moment as I contemplated the negative consequences of colonization. Adding to the weight of the colonial history was the knowledge that Trujillo and his armies had tortured and killed tens of thousands of Dominicans, either because of their Haitian background or because of their political leanings, real or perceived. Many of them died on the very ground where we now stood, something which was constantly on my mind, even as we enjoyed gelato from the local ice cream shop. In her book, The Beatrice Prophecy, writer Kate DiCamillo asks, "What world is this I now inhabit, and how shall I live in it?" They're good questions. During our trip, we saw so much, and yet it was really just enough to make me more confused. We visited Los Altos, a replica of a 16th century Mediterranean villa. It's an exclusive resort community, open only to those with passports. A city within a city, Los Altos even has public garbage collection, unlike the nation outside the resorts, where garbage piles up everywhere. Except for service workers, almost everyone there was light-skinned. The inequity was difficult to witness, and yet many ordinary Dominicans depend on the jobs offered by Los Altos and the resort industry. Under the sweltering midday sun, we experienced the vivacity of the Bateyes, the settlements for workers located in the sugarcane fields, and heard the people there express pride in their Haitian heritage, despite the fact that the DR doesn't accept them as full citizens. We swam at a small public beach sandwiched between two resorts, where white tourists sunbathed, and security guards kept out anyone deemed unacceptable. We assisted with Bethel Baptist Church's children's ministry, where kids learn marketable skills, from hairstyling to computer science, to help support their families. We enjoyed traditional Dominican cooking, which combines the best elements of Spanish and the local Tainau indigenous peoples, and Haitian West African cuisines. I even attempted merengue, the national music of the Dominican people, with its complicated Spanish-style dance steps over African beats. And the entire time, we observed Pastor Miguel and his team move seamlessly from one sphere to another. One day, Miguel would be posing for a silly photo by the yachts in Los Altos Marina. The next, he would be laughing and joking with the elders and youth in Bayte 62. He knows people everywhere, at the airport, at the local garage or country club, at the gift shop with the designer purses, and works hard to bring everyone along with him in ministry. Now home in Atlantic Canada, in a land where we have our own long and bloody history to navigate, I think of him often. What world is this I now inhabit, and how shall I live in it? I'll let you know when I figure it out completely. In the meantime, though, I'll be working on relationships.